Yeah, that was a good morning response. I want to reiterate, and I appreciate so much the song service this morning. It was really good. You know, just sitting up here, I could hear everybody singing out really good, and it just seemed like there was more people here than there actually is. And that's a good sign when we have a song service like that. So I appreciate so much, and I appreciate your prayers. I appreciate the prayer that's gone before, but please don't stop praying this morning. What's on my heart and mind this morning is Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. I want to go to Colossians chapter 3, and I want to go to verse 22. Colossians chapter 3, verse 22. Starts off, says servants. Now, a lot of times people read this in the Bible and they think about slaves and servants that they had in the Old Testament and in the First Jerusalem Church era and stuff like that. And we know that there are some cultures today that still have, you know, actual servants that are in servitude to other people. But if you read this and it says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Well, we could also put this in as an employee and an employer standpoint, right? It could work the same way. Or it could also work, but if we go up to verse 20, if we back up, it says, Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. That's one of the things about the children. They're supposed to be obedient to parents. And parents pray that parents are good, godly parents, that they would actually try to be leading and teaching them the correct way to go, so they are obeying the right thing. And this morning, I'd like to talk to you about doing the right thing. Doing the right thing. And so in verse 22, it says, servants, obey in all things your master according to the flesh. So if they're telling you to do something, you should do it. Now, obviously, we do have scripture. It says we are to obey God other than man. So obviously, if they're telling you to do something that's not right, we're to do the right thing, correct? We're to use the scriptures, God's word as our rule, our law. This is what we need to judge everything by. This is what we need to, you know, in a science experiment, you have a control, right? This is our control. This is what we need to lean on. This is what we need to seek our guidance from, by doing the right thing. But if it's a job that you're supposed to be doing and they tell you to do a job, isn't that the thing? We're supposed to do it. You know, that's the thing with growing up. Mom and daddy told me to do something. I was expected to do it. And there was consequences if I didn't. But it says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. So we have masters of the flesh. As children, we have masters of our parents. And when we get out into the workforce or a school or whatever, the people that have authority over us, they're the ones that have the master over us, right? That tells us what to do and how to do our job. And we're to do that. And we're starting to see, and you know, I don't know, you don't have to live very long, but you start to see, you know, a lot of these people that are going into the workforce now, they don't have much of a work ethic. They don't really care to do the job. They don't really want to listen to anybody. There's been training that's been left off at the home, and you can kind of see that. This no spank generation. I mean, I tell you, you spare the rod, you spoil the child. Gosh, it seems like the Word of God knows what it's talking about. Because it does. He does. He knows exactly what we need. He knows the right thing to do. So we should listen to the Word of God when it is teaching us of how to do the right thing. And one thing is to obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service. Too much of the time people are busy at work because somebody is watching them. Come on, y'all, we've all seen it before. I see it in my own house. You know, I tell my daughter to go clean her room, right, Kendra? I go tell her to clean her room, and then, you know, when I come in there and I open the door, and whoop, I get getting busy. That's just kind of our human nature, right? We were born that way. Something has to do. We have work to do to keep ourselves from doing that old nature. And if we've been blessed by the Spirit of God dwelling within us, we've been quickened together with Him, then we have an understanding that we don't need to be doing our service with eye service as men pleasers, only working when somebody's watching, only doing this when somebody's around. I tell you, you know, y'all that's been in the military, you know that, you know, when Sergeant Major runs around, everybody's on their toes. Everybody's doing something right, right? But when he ain't around, you know, when the cat's away, the mice will play. It happens. It's part of our nature. It's how we are. It's how we were born. We came into this world pre-programmed like that because of the sin nature that is in us. But doing the right thing. It's like, so obeying in all things and doing what we're told to do, conducting ourselves as we should. My favorite example of this is Joseph. Joseph in the Old Testament. You know, in Genesis chapter 39 is where I'm wanting to go. But Genesis chapter 39. We see Joseph before 39, but I want to go to chapter 39. And Joseph, Genesis chapter 39, we'll read about Joseph. All right, in chapter 39, a lot has already happened to Joseph. A lot has already happened to him. You know, his father loved him more than the other children because, you know, he was a son of his old age. You know, and the son of the woman that he loved. And he gave him that coat of many colors, you know. And his brothers saw that and they hated him. They envied him. They hated him. And then he had the dreams about the dream that all his family would bow down unto him and stuff. You know, there's a lot going on and I'm trying to hasten on. But you can go back and read it about it. But they just absolutely hated him to the point that when he was coming to them one time, they sought to kill him. Literally sought to kill him, to end his life. That's how much they hated him. But, you know, one brother, Reuben, was like, well, let's not kill him or whatever. And they put him in a pit. And next thing you know, Judah had this idea, hey, what's the profit in this if we kill the boy? Let's sell him as a slave. So, wow, my own brethren have sought to kill me. Then they wanted to put me in a pit so I wouldn't be able to do anything. And now, not only that, they've sold me into slavery. So Joseph have done nothing wrong. Is sold into slavery. And that's when in chapter 39 we see that Joseph is brought and sold into slavery into Egypt. Sold unto Potiphar. And it says in Joseph, chapter 39 verse 1, it says, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard in Egypt, Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. Verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph. And we know the story, just like I said, to hasten on about this, we know that in Potiphar's house that the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord blessed Joseph. Everything that Joseph touched seemed to profit. Everything that he did seemed to do well. And Potiphar noticed this and saw that the Lord was with him. So Potiphar just gave him all the things to do. And let's see. Verse 3, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him and made him overseer of his house. And all that he had, he put into his hands. So we see this guy that his brethren hated, wanted to kill him, but then they didn't decide to kill him. They decided to make a little money off of him, so they sold him into slavery, and they sold him into slavery. Now he's the head of the household, you know, top servant, if you will. That's a pretty good position in Potiphar's house, because Potiphar was captain of the guard. He's pretty high up there, so he's a high servant. He's got a lot of responsibilities. But we know what happened. Potiphar's wife desired to have him. And that whole thing about her trying to do this. And one time she caught him and he just left his coat in her hand. And the scripture says it got him out. But I want to make sure that we see what Joseph says about this. We know that she had made several advances in verse 8. But he, Joseph, but he refused and said unto his master's wife, Behold, my master wanteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath into my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. Because thou art his wife, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against, did he say Potiphar? No. He said, sin against God. Yes, it would be a great sin against Potiphar. But Joseph went to the source. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Well, we know that Potiphar's wife made a bunch of false accusations about Joseph, and Potiphar was angry and thrust him into prison. Now Joseph's back down on rock bottom again. Hated by his brethren, sold into slavery, rose up to the high servant's position. Now he's lost it all and he's in prison. But in verse 21, it says, But the Lord was with Joseph. I want you to see this. It doesn't matter what condition we find ourselves in this life. It doesn't matter what comes down the pipeline, what kind of blindside we've been hit with. If the Lord is with us, and the reason He is with us is because we've been trying to do the right thing. Joseph was always trying to do the right thing. He did nothing wrong to deserve wanting to be killed. He did nothing wrong to deserve to be sold into slavery. He did absolutely nothing wrong. But somebody lied about him, and he was thrust into prison. But I'm so thankful that the story doesn't end there, right? We see that later on. I don't have time to go through all this. You can do this a wonderful read. Wonderful stories to learn about. And we read that at one point, Joseph, again, not only is he a top servant, no, he is just under Pharaoh. And Egypt at this time was probably one of the largest empires in the world. So he is second only unto Pharaoh as far as world leader, if you will. The Lord was with Joseph. And Joseph was reunited with his family later. And he was able to see his brethren. He was able to feed his family. He was able to bring them. And they were able to live in the land of Goshen and be comforted for the rest of rest of his father's time, Jacob. He was able to be comforted in the land of Goshen. That land of Goshen was a really well-watered plain. The Egyptians, they didn't like shepherds. But the Hebrews, they were shepherds. But they gave them the good of the land in Goshen. And you know, Pharaoh was able to just give them up. Now, we know later in time, you know, a Pharaoh rose up that knew not Joseph, right? But at that time, in Joseph's lifetime, the Lord was with him. And because Joseph was true to the Lord, because Joseph was trying to do the right thing, the Lord was with him and blessed him and blessed him and blessed him. Oh, he had a rocky time at it. He had some hard things he had to endure, but he stuck with it and did the right thing. Another example would be Daniel. Daniel, good boy. He was a good boy. Babylonians came in and destroyed Jerusalem. Took away captive. So think about it this way. You, your family been destroyed. Your home destroyed, wiped out. Everything you have known. Your entire world was ripped away from you. Carried away to a foreign land. If anybody's got a reason to complain, it would be you, right? If anybody had a reason to complain and not want to do anything else and say, Oh, woe is me. Where is my God? But what do we hear about Daniel? He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. He wanted to do the right thing. And because of that, the Lord blessed him. Now, the word about the Lord was with Daniel, not, you know, the Lord was with Joseph, it's not in it, but you can see that the Lord was with Daniel. And then later, we know about, you know, the children's story of the lion, Daniel in the lion's den, right? Everybody knows that story, right? It's a true account. Even though some people did some things, tricked the king into signing a decree, making it illegal for Daniel to worship his God. But Daniel chose to do the right thing. Now he had to be thrown into the den of lions. But the Lord was with him. He did the right thing. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they did the right thing. They would not bow down to that heathen king's image. They would not defile themselves. They would not bow. Yes, they were thrown into a fiery furnace. But we actually see the Lord with them in there. And they had no hurt. We need to do the right thing. I don't know what may happen in your life. I don't know what's coming. I can't tell you what's going to happen in the next 5 seconds. But I do know who will be there. God, our Lord and Savior, will be there. He's the same today, forever. It doesn't matter what time of your life is. He's the same God. And the same deliverance can be ours, whether he delivers you from the fire, through the fire, or away from the fire. It doesn't matter the deliverance, because it's the same with him. But we need to purpose in our heart. We need to do the right thing. So when we read over back in Colossians, and servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, Daniel was doing that. Joseph was doing that. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were doing this because they were not just being men pleasers. No, they were doing the right thing because the Lord was with them. In verse 23, whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. That's who we want to please. That's who we want to work for. It doesn't matter if your boss is just a terrible person or whatever. I mean, if you have opportunity to change jobs, that's a wonderful thing to do. But sometimes we don't get to pick. Sometimes we may have a terrible officer we have to follow orders from or whatever. But, you know, it's one of those things that we need to do as we're working for the Lord. Daniel had to serve that old heathen king, Nebuchadnezzar. But he did his job as he was doing it unto the Lord. Amen. Joseph had to endure so many things in his life, but he did his job as he was doing it unto the Lord. Verse 24, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. That's who we serve. That's who we owe our job to. That's who we owe our work ethic to. That's who we need to be striving to work for. That's who we serve. And the God and Word of God tells us, servants, obey in all things your master according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. That's how we're to conduct ourselves. That's how we're going to set ourselves apart. You know, we're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be set apart. We've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. You know, Paul would tell Timothy, for bodily exercise profiteth little, that is, for a little while, but godliness is profitable unto all things. So when we're going about our day, let us do the right thing. Let us choose to work for the Lord, not for that old grumpy boss that we don't care about.
that doesn't care about us. We need to work for the Lord. And I guarantee you, the Lord can bless you in your labors. Remember, our labors are not in vain in the Lord. That's the thing, in the Lord. But if we're going about being men pleasers and eye service, we're not going to be in the Lord. So let us take these examples and try to model our life after them. Like Joseph, all the things that happened to him, but he wanted to do the right thing. Wanted to serve God, not wanting to sin against God. Let us do the right thing according to the Word of God. May the Lord bless you.